Well, good morning. We have been looking at being the church or to be the church. We've spent several weeks talking about what that means, and this week we're still talking about the church. The church is one of my favorite doctrines in Scripture. I love talking about the church and the fact that God uses the church. And so we've spent several weeks talking about us cherishing the church. We talked about who is the church, in that there are several aspects of how Scripture describes the church. And then over the last four weeks, we've talked about what the church does. And we isolated seven aspects of what the church does from Acts chapter 2. And we spent some time doing that. And this week, we're going to move on to another topic about the church, and that is, how is the church led? And so we're going to talk about people within the church who help to lead the church. Now, let me say this. This is one of the most awkward sermons that I have to preach because it's about pastors and it's about deacons. And as a pastor, it feels really weird talking about yourself and what you should do. And it's odd to talk about how people should respond to you, particularly church members, how they should respond to you. But I come at this humbly. I don't come at this saying I'm the best because I'm not. But I want you to know that this is an odd sermon to preach, but it's something that I think we need to understand about the church. And so trying to talk about the church, we need to understand that the church is an organism. It is a living. We talk about organisms as something that is living. It has moving parts. It is thriving, but it is also an organization with some structure. And so the church is living, and it's doing things, and it's growing, and it has organization and structure. So the church is an institution comprised of individuals. So there's this aspect of the church growing and moving, and but it's composed of individual people, and it is an institution. So you say, what is an institution? An institution is an organization or an establishment created for the promotion of a particular cause. So any institution is a organization or establishment created for the promotion of a particular cause. And the church has a cause. The church isn't here just to hang out. The church isn't here just to meet every week. The church has a cause, and that is to spread the gospel. We read earlier from Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus says that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and the gates of death, Hades, cannot prevail. And so the church is to go out and share life. And that life comes from Christ alone. And so Christ has given the church, has given the world this organization, has given the world this organism, and he has also given it leadership. But you need to understand this. When we talk about leadership, we must first recognize that Christ is the Lord of the church. Christ is the head. When it talks about who's the church, it talks about Christ being the head and we are the body. I am not the head of the church. No pastor is the head of the church. No man is the head of the church. Only Christ is the head of the church. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Hold on to the head, for whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, develops with growth from God." Hold on to the head. It means you better hold tight to Christ. A church without Christ as its head is a church that's headed for disaster and a church that's headed for ruin. There are many churches out there who claim the name church, who are man-centered and they're run by men, and they are all about themselves. And Christ gets talked about periodically, but he is not the head of that organization. And they lead people astray. They don't lead men and women to life, but rather to death. So we must be careful to recognize and remember that Christ is the head. He develops it, and he gives it growth from God. However, he does give the church leaders. He gives the church pastors, or scripture often calls them elders, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And they are servants of the church. A pastor is a servant of the church, and he also gives deacons, and deacons are leading servants in the church. So pastors are servants of the church, deacons are leading servants in the church, and the church proclaims the gospel in the power of Christ. So that's what we want to talk about today. I want to talk about Christ, how he gives us leadership, and then the leaders that he gives to the church. So if we want to look at the first thing is that pastors are servant leaders in the church. Pastors are servant leaders in the church. I want to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 5. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, it states, "Therefore, as fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of the Messiah, and also a participant in the glory about to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsory, but freely, according to God's will, not for money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." So in this text, we see that the church is led by, and he uses several terms here. He uses the term elder, he uses the term shepherd, and he uses the term overseer. And in various parts of scripture, these terms are used. Paul will talk about overseers in Acts. He will talk about elders in 1 Timothy and talk about shepherds as well. And so there are these three terms. And so the church is to choose and follow a pastor or an elder or an overseer. These are three different terms, and they have really, they're three different roles. They're three different ways in which the pastor is to exercise leadership in the congregation. And so these men are servant leaders who are wholeheartedly committed to accomplishing the mission of Christ. If the pastor is not about the mission of Christ, he is not the man that needs to be the pastor. And so the Bible uses these several terms. It uses the word elder, it uses the word pastor or shepherd, and it uses the word overseer. The word pastor and shepherd are the same word. We just use pastor because of a just English coming down, the pastor, pasture, where the sheep are. And so just make that connection, shepherd / pastor, same word, elder and overseer. Again, Peter uses all three of these words in 1 Peter chapter 1, and he uses them interchangeably. And so there's always this question, you know, should there be elders and pastors? Should there be an overseer and elders? But really, if we look at scripture, we see all of these terms used about the same person. And so we want to make sure that we understand that overseer, pastor, shepherd, and elder are all the same person. And again, there's different aspects of that role. Elder, in the Old Testament, meant someone who was generally older, who was the patriarch of the family, of the tribe. And so when he talks about the elders Israel got together, it was usually the older patriarchs of that family. But then when we get to the New Testament, it talks about elders. It should be people who have wisdom, people who have the ability to lead. And so elders are not just connected to age, but really is connected to the role. We see overseer, that's the word we translate as bishop. And the overseer is someone who has the ability to be over an organization and to watch out and to take care of different things. And then we have shepherd. The shepherd is someone who gets with the sheep and who watches over the sheep and is someone to make sure the sheep are protected and make sure the sheep are nourished. So these are all roles, all aspects of what it means to be a pastor / elder / overseer. And I think we see in Scripture that there are four responsibilities of pastors / elders / overseers. And the first one is that they are to lead under the authority of Christ. We lead under the authority of Christ. The pastor belongs to the church, and they are raised up by the Spirit of God. God tells the church who is to be a pastor, and the pastor is lifted up by the church and is given by the church and is given to the church by God. So God raises up the pastor by the Spirit of God, and the church affirms that. The church belongs to Christ, and the pastor is responsible to Christ. So make sure you understand that this is not a job that you should seek for, to have authority, to be in charge. It is a job that you seek so that you can be working along with the church so that you can serve God. The church belongs to Christ, and the pastor is a servant of the church and therefore accountable to Christ. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Be on guard for yourselves, for all of the flock that the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseer." Paul's telling the pastors there, watch out. Be on guard for everyone that God has appointed you as overseer to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. When you come at being a pastor, understanding that it is not yours, that it is Christ, that the church is purchased by Christ, by his own blood. Man, that's a humbling, humbling way to come at the church. Many times we come at the church and think of the church as the leader, he's in charge, the CEO. We've made all of these connections where we say, well, he's the leader, CEO, he's in charge. And really, he's a servant working under Christ to serve the church. So they lead under the authority of Christ. I don't lead by my own authority. I lead by the authority of Christ. I need to be careful of that, because if I do things in my own authority, in my own power, in my own way, then I've walked out of that authority that is led by Christ. So something must always be mindful of, leading under the authority of Christ. The second thing is that the pastor elder cares for the body of Christ. Paul talks about caring for the body, and as an overseer, as a shepherd, taking care of the body of Christ. We do this in a couple of different ways. We are to protect the flock, and we are to nurture the flock. Protection and nurture. Protect the flock. How do you do that? Well, the shepherd, if you remember, usually had a staff, or the shepherd's staff, and it was for different things. One of it was to make sure that the sheep stayed in line, to say, hey, correction, stay with the flock. But also, if an animal came after the shepherd or after the sheep, he could use that stick to beat away the animal. If you remember back in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel, David talks about how he as a shepherd would beat away the lion and the bear using a club. So as a pastor, you get this picture of kind of a warrior who is to protect the flock. And what do we protect you from? We protect you from false doctrine. We protect you from wrong understanding of Scripture. And so there's this correction, there's this teaching, there's this way of helping you understand and to learn God's word. So we protect you from these outside influences that are not godly. But also to nourish you. That is my job, week after week after week, to give you God's word. If I'm not giving you God's word, then we have a problem. Because how can you grow? How can you learn how to read the Bible? How can you do these different things if I'm not doing it in demonstration and helping you to do that as yourself? So the pastor, he protects and he nurtures. Third thing is that we teach the word. It has to be word-centered. Understand, over the last several weeks, we talked about God's word being central. And if God's word is not central to the church is out on its own. You can't be led by your own feelings and desires. You must be led by the word of God. And so a pastor has to be able to understand the word, has to be able to be extensive in the knowledge of the word, and also be able to communicate the word effectively. Pastors must know the word and be able to communicate that word. And we lead by the word. We lead by scripture. 1 Timothy 5 says, "And elders who are good leaders should be considered worthy of an ample honorarium, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching." My main job is to teach, preach the word of God. So pastors lead under the authority of Christ. Pastors care for the body of Christ. Pastors teach the word. And pastors, lastly, also model the character of Christ. In several passages in Timothy and also in Titus, there are these lists of how a pastor, or the characteristics of a pastor. And what you're doing is you're asking yourself, is what will happen if the church imitates this leader? Again, humbling. There are aspects of me and my character that you don't want to imitate. And when I think about that, I'm like, sound like a failure. I feel like a failure that it's like, man, I'm horrible. And then I'm also reminded that, you know what? I am also just like you, a work in progress. But for the most part, you need to ask yourself, if I had the characteristics, if I imitated this leader, whether it's me or any other pastor, is he someone worth imitating? And you ask yourself in these areas, in his personal life, is he controlled? Is he wise? Is he peaceable? Is he gentle? Is he a giver? Is he humble? Is he patient, honest? Is he disciplined? These are all characteristics of what God says a pastor should be. When it comes to his family, is he the leader of his home? If he is single, is he self-controlled? If he's married, is he completely committed to his wife? If he has children, do they honor him? Is he someone worth imitation? In his social life, is he kind? Is he hospitable? Is he a friend of strangers? Does he show favoritism because he shouldn't? Is he blameless? Does he have a good reputation? He's not perfect. Nobody is. But there are gleaming errors in his character. And in his spiritual life, does he make disciples of all nations? Does he live in the word? Does he love the word? Is he a man of prayer? Is he holy? Is he gracious? These are aspects of what God says a pastor should look like. And is he someone worth imitating? Would you want to be like your pastor? Regardless of who your pastor is he someone you want to be like? But you notice some things that aren't there in the text, though. Some things that we tend to focus on. Some things that we tend to bring in. One of those is age. We look down on people because of age. I've heard about churches that say, "Well, we don't want a pastor unless they're X amount of years old. He must have a wife." We don't want someone who's single, or we talk about various things in which we make important, but Scripture doesn't do that. Scripture doesn't talk about age. Scripture does talk about someone who's not a young believer, meaning that they don't know God's word. But it doesn't talk about age. Also doesn't talk about success. Again, when churches look to call pastors, they look at a resume and say, well, how long has he been there? What has he done good? Has he been successful? And we tend to think things that are successful that God doesn't always think is successful. I'm reminded of the story of David when David gets called to be king and Samuel goes and he says, well, show me your sons, Jesse. And the last one, the one in the family, the one that nobody thinks will ever be a leader, gets called out from the field. And God says, that's my man. He's not been successful as a soldier. He's not been successful as a leader. And God says, he's someone who will pursue me. And so I want him to be your king. David blows it over and over again. Yet he's considered someone who pursues God and is a man after God's own heart. David is successful because he loved God and pursued God, not because he was a great king. Another thing that's very big right now going on in the world of the church is the question about women as pastors. And in this list, you never see a woman as pastor. Now, does that mean women can't be in leadership, that women can't serve in ministry? That's up for debate. And I don't want to deal with all the merits of that here this morning, but I do want to say this. Scripture is pretty clear that the pastor is to be a man. And that women can minister to others, but the pastor, the leader of the church, is always considered a man in Scripture. So, with that being said, does your pastor do these responsibilities? Does he do these four things? I know, and I look at my life and I think, yep, I've failed there, failed there, failed there. But again, I know that if I walk in the Spirit and if I am led by Christ, that it's possible to lead His church. And I'm humbled to lead your church. I'm humbled to lead our church. Some days are worth celebrating. Some days I wonder if God even loves me because it's been so hard. But I know God is with me. I know He's called me. And I will do what He's called me to do until the day He tells me not to. So God gives leaders. God gives pastors. But He also has given the church lead servants. And the deacons are lead servants in the church. We get to, there's really two or three places where we talk about deacons, and there's this list. So deacon is an office of the church in the books of Titus and in the book of Timothy. And so there's these qualifications that are given, just like qualifications are given for a pastor. But we also see deacons at work in the early church. We see Paul talk about deacons, how they served him and how they served the people in various books. But we see in Acts chapter 6, and I read part of it last week, that when we have these deacons are called, they're called for a purpose. And so the church affirms, the church honors deacons, the church sees them as leading servants who use their gifts to build up the body. The deacon is there for the church, to serve the church, to help the church serve, and to free up the pastor to do what he is called to do, and to help the church learn how to serve on their own as well. Again, in Acts chapter 6, I want to read it to you again, talks about deacons. It says, in those days, as the number of disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint in the Hellenistic Jews about the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. So check this out. What's happening is there are two groups of women, the Jewish women and the Gentile women, who were both widows. So the church was supposed to take care of them, but there were certain groups, the Hebrew women, who were being really taken care of, but there wasn't good leadership, good servants in the Gentile ladies' groups to serve them. And so a problem comes up. And so the disciples, says that the 12 assembled everyone and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to handle financial matters. Said, our role is important. That is not an unimportant thing, but we can't give up preaching and teaching and studying and praying to deal with these issues. So he says, we need to raise up some people, some servants among you to do that. Therefore, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who can be appointed for this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the preaching ministry. And this proposal pleased the whole company. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timian, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And they had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And so they preached about God flourishing. The number of the disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly, and the large group of priests became obedient to the faith. And the issue came up, and the deacons took care of it. They served the people so that the apostles, the disciples, could be freed up to do what God had called them to do. So we see here 3 responsibilities of what a deacon does. The first one is that the deacons meet the needs of the people according to the word. God's word says you should take care of people. And that's what the deacons were called to do. In this instance, they were to take care of the widows. They're interesting. It's Hellenistic widows, so they're Gentile widows, and all of the men who are called have Gentile names. So they called up people among themselves who could take care of these widows. So they arose for a specific circumstance. The issue was that women were not being taken care of, and they were having particular commands, take care of this. And they cared for the people. So when deacons come up, who should be a deacon? The church should look around and say, who's taking care of the crowd? Who's taking care of the church? Oftentimes, however, we look for people who are administrators, or we look for people who have money, and we don't look for people who really care for others in the church. Let me say this. I am thankful for the deacons that this church has. They love you. They really do. They care about you. We get together once a month and we pray over needs that you may have. I'm honored to work with the deacons that we have. But oftentimes, in some churches and in some areas, deacons don't serve as servants. They are more of trustees and board members. And we've gotten away from the biblical model of servants, which deacon literally means table servant. They're the worst, they're the lowest of lowest servants in the list of servants. And that's not a dig at them, but it's to demonstrate that they serve the people. We've gotten away from that. We've gotten administrators who don't serve the people as much. But I'm thankful for the deacons we have and some of the men that we've brought in lately to kind of learn the process of how does it mean a deacon. They love you. And we pray for you. And I'm thankful for them and their service. The second thing, deacons support the ministry of the word. They serve so the pastor can lead. They take care of families. They pray with you. They're on the front lines with you so that the pastor can do other things. My main job is to study God's word, to pray, and to get it to you. They lead so that others can serve. And the third thing is that deacons unify the body around the word. unify the body around the word. They hear complaints, they deal with things, but then they have to help focus, saying, is this what God wants for our church? Or is this something that we need to let go? They serve as a buffer a lot of times between the pastor and the people. Not in a negative sense, but sometimes they squelch issues and they deal with problems and they pray with people and they hear people and they help people understand that maybe that's not the focus of what the church should be doing. So we're going to follow the pastor and we're going to serve one another. So when you think about a deacon, you want to ask, again, is he someone you want to imitate? Is he a person of honor? Is he genuine? Is he self-controlled? Is he a giver? Is he devoted to the word of God? Is he faithful? Is he peaceable? Does he stir up trouble? Is he someone who's a peacemaker? Is he blameless? Does he honor Christ in his home? Deacons are servants who serve the people, who love the people, who take care of the people. So what does that mean for everybody else? It means we all work together with leaders. Every member is a minister. If you are a member of the Church of God, you are a minister. Maybe you're not vocational minister. Maybe you don't get paid to be a minister. But God has called you out of darkness into light to show other people light. You are a minister. You have been given a gift, and you are to serve others. Deacons serve their members. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says, remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then a few verses down from there, in verse 17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Understand the heaviness of that statement. And I know I never understood it until I became a pastor, but leaders will give an account for you. So, obey your leaders, submit to them, so that they can do their work with joy, not grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Again, I can't communicate the heaviness of what it means to be a pastor who is over a church and responsible for the people who are here. It's one of those things that you don't know until you're there. But understand this, it's a heavy, heavy burden. It's a humbling burden. But it's a burden I gladly bear because it is what Christ has called me to do. Leaders are given authority. But their authority is conditional on the fact that they are teaching the word accurately, that they're living the word faithfully, and that they serve carefully, responsibly, and joyfully. The church has given, or God has given the church leaders. So members submit to their leaders. It's not that they are less than the leaders, but that's the role that God has given them. Jesus submitted to the Father. Was Jesus less than the Father? No. But that was what he was to do. He submitted to the Father, and members submit to their leaders. They obey. They let the leaders teach. They let the leaders lead. And if leaders are teaching the Word of God, you should follow them. It's all about the Word of God. We come back again and again to the Word of God. Obey the Word. You are under the authority of Christ. And members are accountable to Christ. We should submit to ourselves in matters of conflict, when it comes to issues of discipline, deacons took care of the issues there, the conflict. They dealt with it, with the widows. We submit in matters of doctrine, and we submit in matters of discipline. We talked about discipline a few weeks ago. Members imitate the faith of their leaders. Members maximize the joy of their leaders. And when leaders serve the members and the members submit to their leaders, the church is edified and Christ gets glorified. So again, today it's weird talking about your own role and telling you that you should submit. But that's what God says for you to do. I'm honored to be your pastor. I'm honored to be with you through thick and thin, through the good times and the bad. And I'm honored to serve with the other leaders who are here at the church. There are men who love you, men who care about you, men who want the best for you. So this morning, as we come to a close, I want to spend some time in prayer. You can do it where you are. You can come up to the altar. But will you pray for the leaders of this church? Pray for me. Pray for our deacons. Pray for those who serve you. Pray for you that you will submit under God's authority, under the authority of the word, to those who lead you. Regardless of who's the pastor, whether it's me, whether it's somebody else, whether whatever happens in God's timing and God's call, that this message is true. So pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaders. There's a heavy burden on them. We do it for the glory of God. Will you stand? Mm-hmm.